This is Jay Sekulow. Today's broadcast, we're going to talk to you about what the left wants you to think about America.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We want to take today as a bit of a chance to reflect, I think is the way to say it, Logan, on a lot of people are walking around like we don't have hope. And even though we had this great week at the Supreme Court last week, but people are discouraged. And I'm wondering, this was Logan and Will's idea to give a little bit of a history lesson, because I think it's important for people to understand we have been through this literally. As people like to say, this is not my first rodeo.
Yeah, it almost feels ridiculous when you look at it. I was looking at an article that you were on the cover of The American Lawyer from 1991. So now we're talking about 31 years ago. And who was on the cover? I mean, obviously, there's you, is Randall Terry. And what's it about? It's about protesting against abortion at different abortion clinics. And then you look at the bottom of this, and the two people on the bottom, again, 31 years ago, are Joe Biden and Clarence Thomas, currently the heroes and villains to the perspective right and left. And still, if you could have think this article could have been written today, right, or this magazine would have come out today, because who do you see most on social media or on the news as, again, either hero or villain would be President Biden, Supreme Court Justice Thomas. And it just shows you that not only is history repeating itself, that nothing is new, and certainly nothing is new in politics. Maybe that needs to change sometimes, but you look at it and go, one, we've been in this fight for an incredibly long time, but so have most of the main characters in this. So for them, and I love it says in there, Biden's spineless. Again, 31 years ago, already saying that. And that's just ridiculous.
Well, I'm actually holding the magazine in my hand. I mean, I know they're showing it on the cover, but I've got it in my hand too. It's a huge magazine. It's American Lawyers, like the Lawyers magazine, still around. It's now more online, digital.
Oh, so everything is, yeah.
But what's interesting about this to me is, you're right, you look at the cover of it, and it's when I was defending Operation Rescue, which on the case actually that became the predicate for overturning Roe versus Wade. So it was a great decision that what came out of this case. This one was out of Wichita, but it was Wichita, New York, and Alexandria in Virginia. But what I think is really, like Logan said, is encouraging is this is not the first time we've been through this. I've been doing this for 43 years.
And then you were going state to state and doing those things.
Exactly. And
which is what essentially we're going to have to do now.
It's nothing's changed. But it is important to note that besides me, that the main players of these issues, it's the same group.
Yeah, besides you. Okay. You can say that. But all right.
Well, I don't want to gloat, bragging.
But it's definitely the same topic.
Same topic.
Yeah.
Same people.
Yeah.
So, Jay Sekulow, the lawyer, advocating for the pro-life position. Clarence Thomas, the justice.
Yeah, which they're already calling, in this, saying offensive things about him, I'm sure.
Yeah. But my thing is, from Wichita to the Supreme Court, Jay Sekulow fights for Operation Rescue's right to protest against abortion.
I mean, the tone certainly has changed in America in the sense of that would not be the headline.
No, they would never do that now. And they would never call it the new civil disobedience.
The headline would be...
That's why a documentary of that movement needs to be done.
Jay Sekulow, devil, is what it would be. It would not be, fighting against civil disobedience. That is where it's changed, is that people's tone has changed, but the people are still the same. I mean, sometimes it's why people get mad, because it feels like the fact that Biden is on a cover 31 years ago, he was relevant enough 31 years ago to be the cover star.
He was chairman of the Judiciary Committee.
I know, it's just wild, though, to think about.
But there's Clarence Thomas, who, you understand, assigned the opinion to Alito, because Clarence Thomas is a senior justice. Roberts wasn't going to sign the majority opinion, so it went to Clarence Thomas. Clarence Thomas assigned it to Sam Alito. Folks, we know how to do this. We're going to get into great detail.
People say you look younger now, though.
No mustache.
No mustache helps. It helped you then, because 31 years ago, you needed to look older.
I looked like a kid. I didn't have to wear glasses then either. Yeah. Probably had contacts, maybe. Yeah. A lot of hair, though. Yeah. Same hair. So that's pretty good.
No wig. People say that on social media.
Not true.
People say wig. But
your grandfather had dark hair until the moment before he passed.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. All right, we're going to have fun today. We're going to be uplifting. We'll be back. We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Secular. We are taking your calls. A lot of people are calling in right now, 1-800-684-3110. Kind of resetting your mind as we've had, you know, roughly a week since Roe was overturned. Less than a week. It feels like it feels like it's been a month or 2 months because people, one, have short attention spans. That is sort of the good and the bad with America right now, is when there is something that people get up in arms about, often it disappears very quickly. And not that Roe has disappeared, but certainly it's not as massive of protests right now that are happening.
That kind
of
people thought it was going to be.
They thought they'd be over the weekend. But what we wanted to do is come here today, and we're going to talk a lot about the history and the future of the pro-life movement, but also some other topics today.
Yeah. And Andy Economo is with us, of course, is our senior counsel. And Andy and I have been practicing law together since the mid-1980s. And all of these cases we talk about, including the one on the front cover, I was in Wichita. Andy was in Atlanta getting the briefs ready. And we've been doing this for a long time. And I do think it's, for those that are just joining, I know we always get people joining, on the cover of this magazine are people that are still the main players in all of this. Go ahead.
One person did just say on YouTube, does this bring up the question of should there be term limits? And part of you goes, well, it does feel crazy that these are the people, but especially for Supreme Court justices,
I think
it's kind of the point.
I like the lifetime appointment on Supreme Court justices,
so you
actually
can't have this big sway.
No, because then it becomes way too political. So you have on the cover of the magazine, Clarence Thomas, Justice Clarence Thomas, President Joe Biden, was then Senator Biden, and Advocate Jay Sekulow. So Andy, we've tried, you know, literally hundreds of these cases around the country. It looks like that's what's going to be happening now in the post-Roe world. We've got lawyers today. Frank and Jeff are in, Frank is in Kentucky at the court there as that argument is going forward, and we're working on that. Utah and Louisiana already put stays in place. I think Texas put a stay in place as well. So we expected this, though. And like I said, Andy, this is not our first rodeo by any stretch of the imagination. And it's the same players.
You know, the amazing thing, Jay, is the French have an expression, plus ça change, plus c'est le même. As much as things change, as much they stay the same. And that's exactly the same here. We have been fighting this battle for over four decades. As you pointed out, Senator Biden, then Senator Biden, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Justice Clarence Thomas, who concurred and joined the opinion of the court written by Justice Alito, you as the lead advocate, and you haven't changed that much except for the mustache, I may say. And I believe that's Randall Terry on the cover.
It sure is.
Along there. With us. But we continue now the battles then. We fought in state courts. around the country, Operation Rescue.
Yep.
I represented Concerned Women of America in those battles. We now move to the states forum around the country, Kentucky, Utah, Texas, other states where the laws are going to be attacked. So it's really the same thing, new wine in old bottles, old wine in new bottles, but nothing really changes, even though it appears to. We still fight for life. We still fight against the killers. We still fight against the abortion industry, Planned Parenthood. We've done this today. We did it yesterday, and we're going to be doing it tomorrow.
That's exactly right.
And obviously, you always hoped for the win.
Yes.
For the overturn of Roe. But there was times over the last 30 years where it felt like, mainly due to some presidential picks and who were
prepared,
it just wasn't going to happen.
Well, here's what happened. I talked about this with a friend of mine a couple of days ago. So you have, you know, George H.W. Bush made two picks. Yeah. One really good, Clarence Thomas.
Yeah.
The other was David Souter, who became a member of the left immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately went to the left
of
the court.
Which is always a concern that you're not getting
Ronald Reagan,
yeah.
Sandra Day O'Connor.
Yeah.
And Anthony Kennedy, moderates at best.
Yeah.
Then you had Donald Trump. I mean, you have George W. Bush. There's another example. Okay.
Alito.
We got Sam Alito.
Yeah.
Then John Roberts.
Yeah.
Who didn't join the opinion but concurred in judgment.
Yeah.
Then Donald Trump comes in and you get Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody questions whether they're conservatives at this point. Would you say that's fair?
I'd say that's probably fair, yeah.
So, but like Logan said, and the reason we showed the American Lawyer magazine is, and what Angie just said, is we've been through this before, and we're totally prepared for the state court litigation.
I do think it's interesting that still, though, even though there is conservative justices and more liberal-leaning justices, there are still cases, not this one, obviously, that go 9-0.
Oh, yeah.
There are still cases. So I think people need to load that, too. The Supreme Court is not this, like, it's not like an election where it's almost always now at this point 52% to 48%. There are times this time where it was 8-1 or 9-0.
This case was 6-3.
Yeah.
And there were conservative liberal justices that went with us.
Yeah. But I just mean right now, even the court right now.
Oh, yeah. A lot of the cases are unanimous.
Yeah. It's not always politicized.
And sometimes there was a case on Native Americans and jurisdiction today, which everybody thought was going to actually be an opinion written by Justice Gorsuch, who wrote the dissent.
Right, and people, I think that...
But there is a lot... Listen,
the left wants you to think it's a crumbling system, the Supreme Court.
But it is, isn't. I mean, so many of our cases have been 9-0. Yeah. 9-0.
Including justices that a lot of people on the right would probably be like, there's no way...
You could get Justice Ginsburg, who ruled with us 72% of the time.
Yeah.
Justice Breyer, I think, 81% of the time. But we had a lot of unanimous cases. Now, look... And Andy will tell you this. One of the things I do is I'm very careful on what we take.
And they're free speech advocates, a lot of those people, too.
Yes. And
traditional, real free speech advocates.
And when you had a free speech case, we always work for reaching all of the court if possible, Andy.
Well, I have a vague recollection of a case called Jews for Jesus versus the Board of Airport Commissioners of Los Angeles. Your first case.
Yep.
What was the decision in that case, Jay? 9-0.
Right.
On the basis of overbreadth, which is a doctrine that said you're covering both protected speech and speech that can be regulated and that is not protected. So to say that things have changed drastically in these years is not an accurate statement. I'm a historian. I'm a trained historian. I go back and I look at things that happened before, and I look at change through time. And I can tell you that things have not changed that radically through time. It is, as Logan said at the beginning of the program, the tone, the tenor,
yes,
the civility or the lack of civility is what has changed and made things differently. And that is a terrible thing to be able to say, because in the profession of law, we need to be civil and to exercise civility and to say respectfully when we say that, and to say sincerely when we believe that, and not to have these rabid, raging tenors of violence. We didn't have this in the past, but unfortunately, the tenor has changed in the present.
But you know what's interesting, Logan, you talked about 9-0, so I just clicked off of my list. Mergens versus Board of Education. Prayer clubs and Bible clubs in school. You would think, how much more controversial can you get to that? Decision, 8-1 in our favor. How about this? A church using school facilities for its services, for film series, for community outreach. 9-0 in our favor. How about this? More recent election law. Minors participating in political campaigns. 9-0. So that now we're fighting a state. Let's take this call from Bill. We're fighting in the state courts on the exactly. Well, listen, Roe returned it to the states. We had to know, and of course we did, that the states were where the battle was going to be. They weren't just going to say, okay, that's it, we're done.
And those first cases were, you know, still Thurgood Marshall and people who are thought of as these, like, you
liberal
know,
icons.
Liberal icons.
Thurgood
Byron
Marshall.
White.
Brennan.
Yeah.
Justice Brennan. Justice John Paul Stevens.
Yeah.
I mean, these were not justices you normally think you would reach, and we had great success by God's grace in doing that. So that's why we are prepared for the next phases of these battles. We've got a great team in place. And by the way, we didn't have the capability to do what we're doing today in 1991 when I did this. We were relying on, you know, TBN helped us a lot.
Yeah.
CBN helped us a lot. That was about it.
Yeah.
Our coverage in the ABCs, NBC, and CBSs of the world were hostile. There was no real...
They were hostile then. Yeah,
CNN was not much of a player.
It was just happening. There was no Fox. There was no options for...
No.
It wasn't as hyper-politicized on those. It was still politicized. So people... You don't want to remember.
I was on Nightline on that
right,
one.
Right, right. And that's what people were watching. It was
yes.
a different time. All right, should we go to the call?
Take it.
All right, let's go to Bill, who's calling in Oregon. Bill, you're on the air. Hey, Bill, you there?
Nope.
Bill's right. not there.
All right,
Bill,
yeah.
Oh, there you go, Bill. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. I was just contemplating that, you know, the next step in this victory, and it is a victory, is what about... the children's rights, unborn children, but children's rights and offering them protection, equal protection under the law, under the Constitution.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you said that because I don't know if we have that bite available. Justice Alito, we played it, I think, in the opening or during one of our breaks. Justice Alito said that. I mean, what about the right of the child? And that language made its way into the opinion here. So, look, the next step in this battle may well be the personhood issue on a state level. It's not going to be federalized. It's going to be on a state level. But we should be prepared for that. We should be optimistic about that. I am. I think we're going to do... look, folks, I'm not surprised you got a couple of temporary restraining orders. Andy, 30 seconds here. We're not shocked at this. This is what we expect.
No. No, we expect these. We expect these to happen because this is the give and take and the punch and,
right.
and shove of litigation. So it's, you know, one up, two down, but we always come up standing up, Jay.
Exactly right. All right, folks, we'll be back in a moment. Take more calls.
Yep, taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want your voice on the air, got some open lines, 1-800-684-3110. Check out the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Make sure you're following us on all your favorite social media platforms. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're going to switch gears here. We are taking your calls, 800-684-3110. By the way, you can call on any of the many topics we're calling on today. Google has come under fire because its algorithm apparently unfairly targeted conservative content across all of its services, and that its Gmail service filters more Republican fundraising and campaign emails to spam.
Yes, this is a report that came out that earlier this year, a nonpartisan study found that Google's algorithm marked nearly 70% of emails from Republican campaigns during the 2020 election as spam, compared to only 8% of emails from Democrat campaigns. There's a lot to be said about that. There's a lot to think about on that.
Are you shocked?
I'm not shocked, but it also, you know, we'll talk to Than about this, says a couple different things. One, are they censoring conservative messages? I mean, it's hard to really argue when it's 70% to 7 or 8%, whatever right. It is. Does it also mean that we've got to do better and that the conservative
better figure out these
machines
algorithms?
Better figure out what they're doing? Because what it also means is that the Democrats not only are getting it served better, they're getting served better because they also know how to work the system. They know that, look, we have to deal with it here every day. We have a team of people that decide what the title is going to be for social media, for Facebook, for YouTube, for all the different outlets. Rumble's the only one that we know is pretty much safe for whatever. But because we know now with our analytical data and our social media team breaking down each time we go live, each time we put out a video, each time we put out a title, look, Facebook will tell you, there's how many people got it served. Well, we know if there's a word that now we strike from the list and we can't use that word anymore. It's a ridiculous time to live in, but they have people who are doing that. And we need, for as conservatives, need to make sure that we are doing the same thing. However, it is a larger margin than maybe seems like it could even be at all fair and balanced.
Okay, so Republican leadership has now introduced a bill, Than, that would require platforms to share how their filtering techniques work and make it illegal to put campaign emails into spam unless a user asks. What is the status of this, and how serious of a problem is it?
Well, first of all, Jay, it plays so directly into the conversation you're already having with Logan, because this debate over the issue of life, where is that going to take place the most frequently going forward, in addition to the court of law like you've been talking about? That debate in the public space, Jay, it's going to take place online. So this discrepancy that Logan is talking about, that NC State, you know, not exactly a conservative outfit, found this vast discrepancy, that is going to be very, very important. The bill, Tim Scott and John Thune, and by the way, Jay, co-sponsored by every member of the Republican leadership in the United States Senate. So very significant. It would do two main things. Number one, it would require big tech companies to transparently show how their filtering techniques work. So how they were filtering emails out and putting them into people's spam accounts. The other thing, Jay, it would actually make it illegal to put campaign emails into a spam folder unless the user proactively ask for it. So that's the status of the legislation. And Jay, we can maybe get into this if you want to, but it's interesting. The legislation drops. What happens? Google runs to Washington, D.C. and says, oh, wait a minute, let us do something voluntarily to try to fix this. They're asking for a pilot program to be approved.
So Google's response, though, Than, from my understanding, is only because the pressure started getting on them. So it's not like Google was dying for legislation here. But it does say it was interesting that they asked the FEC to green light that program you were just talking about.
Yeah, and only because of pressure, Jay. And that's really the point. How many times do we talk about this? This is why we engage in FOIA. This is why we engage in public advocacy, because sometimes you just have to shine a spotlight and to get a company to do the right thing. The pilot program that Google is now asking the FEC to green light and to implement, it falls well short of the legislation that's put forward. It basically says that it wants to make campaign emails exempt from their spam filter as long as they meet certain policies. And then it does say we want to give the users, the receivers of those emails, a very prominent notification the first time they receive it and give them the option for how they want to handle that going forward. Jay, that's a step in the right direction, because of course you want the receiver of the email to be the one one that is directing whether or not it's something they want to receive. But look, we got to call it like it is. This is also big tech trying to keep the hand of regulation from Washington, D.C. out of. It's not like they came forward with this on their own, Jay.
Yeah, this is from the NC State study. This is a quote. We further observed that the percentage of emails marked by Gmail as spam from the right-wing candidates grew steadily as the election date approached, while the percentage of emails marked as spam from the left-wing candidates remained about the same.
Okay, so that's not just an algorithm word thing. That's an intentional.
Like,
yeah. So here's the thing we got to understand. When it comes to these major platforms that we're dealing with, we have to understand that we've got to be, it's what you said, really creative on this, really on top of this.
And should there be, here's a question for you. Gmail is a free service that they offer. No one pays for Gmail.
Nope.
Unless you have like the premium packages things.
Right.
So is it within their purview to say, you're using our free service? I mean, I'm just to play devil's advocate. You use our free service. We'll tell you what we'll give you what you want. You can go use someone else if you don't like that we filter out conservatives.
That's the argument they're making.
Yeah.
And I've been one that's wanted to keep hands off of big tech.
I think they will probably say, well, they're not doing that. This is just someone not getting their algorithm.
Well, right. But I think the problem is this. They have almost become like a utility. They're so big and they control so much data that they're, by doing this, then in my view, what they're doing is begging for regulation. They don't want it, but they're trying to take preemptive measures to stop it. But their actions beg for regulation. That's what they got to fight.
I don't usually like regulation.
Huh? I do not like regulation.
So,
and I don't like censoring speech.
It feels
but I don't
weird.
Like them censoring speech either.
I don't like that either. Yeah.
I think all three of us would probably agree on that. I mean, we don't probably want to trust the federal government to make decisions for consumers, but you don't want big tech companies to make decisions for consumers either. I think you've got to look for a solution where it's the end user. It's the person receiving the email. It's the person using the platform. It's the person receiving the service that has an option to make a choice. And so, look, do I trust Washington, D.C. to come up with that solution? No. But, you know, Logan, I think it is up to all of us to say we want a product that looks like this and letting the competitive marketplace provide that product for us. At this point, it's very difficult to do that because you don't have a whole lot of transparency into what services are actually being blocked before they get into your inbox.
Do you find, I mean, because you run that department, that whole aspect of the ACLJ, is how to be creative and not get spammed and blocked?
Oh, it's hard, very difficult. You have to make sure. And look, some of it is, especially when campaigns come around, you know how many emails you get, you know how many text messages you get. There is a point where even me, someone who wants to stay abreast of what's happening, goes, I can't take it anymore. You've sent me 40 emails today, and they're all the same. And you know what? There is that point where that's just knowing your base and understanding how it works and why they're emailing you at a certain frequency. But a lot of it's that. It's frequency. It's title. It's what images are in there. You'll see a lot of our emails come with just text. Sometimes there's an image. There's a format. Why? Because we've learned over time, if we send certain things like an image or a video, and not necessarily, this is not necessarily a political portion of this or something we have to worry about, like saying the word abortion. It's understanding that it may not get as delivered if there's a graphic that's 8 megabytes. You know, there are weird things you have to learn as someone who's in this industry to go, what is it? How do we use it? How do we best use it? Maybe that means, again, sometimes it's not necessarily the best people up for the job in some of these positions, but it also means if this wide of margin, it's
our team does a great job, but it's real work.
It's an everyday, multi-person department.
You know what's interesting,
email
though?
If we're being honest, let's be honest with our viewer. Email is one of the best ways to reach people still.
Yeah.
Actually, it's our number one way to reach people.
Yeah.
I mean, this broadcast and those kind of things as well. But you're talking about you can go directly to somebody opposed to having Facebook or any of these that are sometimes serving, sometimes not.
You know, when they compared Google to Outlook and Yahoo, of course, Google's blocking and spamming of Republican fundraising emails and other emails was much higher than Outlook and Yahoo, which means it's more than just random. All right, we've got a lot more ahead. Stay tuned. Give us your calls. We're talking about a variety of subjects. 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.